That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more.
When
it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
When I wander through the desert and I'm longing for my home, all my dreams have gone astray. When I'm stranded in the valley and I'm tired and all alone, it seems like I've lost my way. I go running to your mountain.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, the 23rd, and we'll bring the men on. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Tim, all the way out from muddy Nebraska.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us here this little chilly, little snowy out here at the Radio Ranch this morning, but this Saturday morning, the 23rd of March. And, boy, the time just marches on, but we do. We say thanks for joining us, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you have a comment or a question. And got quite a bit going on. Let's see what we can get covered this morning. But, John, would you open us up in prayer before we get any further?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together as a body of believers, as a remnant, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Father, we ask for your guidance in this broadcast. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Father, we thank you for all of our blessings and our promises, but we also thank you for our trials and our tribulations that, according to your word, refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. Father, you know that our desire is to come to the place of complete obedience that your word calls for in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Father, we know that that means that we have to come to the place where we put aside our own selfish wills and wants and desires, not our needs, but our wills and wants and desires, and put you first. And our desire is to come to that place where we love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. And we know that we can't do it without the great helper, the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, Lord, your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we ask, Lord, we ask for wisdom, just as the Bible instructs us to. And Father, we also ask for more Holy Spirit, just as the Bible instructs us to. And Father, we know that you will not withhold anything from your people who are called by your name if we remain faithful. So Lord, we call upon you to continue to grant us grace and mercy, and to find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, give us discernment. Let us hear ye, the Lord, what it is that you would have us to do. Several years ago, we came to you and we said, here we are, Lord, use us, just as Isaiah did. And we said, what is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? And in many ways, you've raised up different members of the body to take that challenge seriously. And Father, you opened the doors in their lives that needed to be opened, and you closed other doors that needed to be closed. And Father, we thank you for all the things that you've revealed to us over the years, Lord. We thank you for Hebrews 1:14 that says that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. And Father, we've been using these things. We send the ministering angels out ahead of us, Lord, to prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive these truths, Lord, to remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and to bring them to the place of repentance where they fall upon their face and they cry out and they ask for forgiveness and they seek the truth. And we know that that's nothing but your grace and your mercy and your compassion for your people. But Father, we know that there's those out there that hate you and hate your people, and that your word says that you're ready to punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. So Father, help us to come to that place. Guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom, Lord, as to what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to know and to understand. And Father, we know that there's nothing that is a better offensive or defensive weapon than the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we contact when we repent and go into that watery grave of baptism. So, Father, I pray that you would convict those that are yours, Lord, those that can come to repentance, to understand that they must be born again of the water and the Spirit. They must be willing to die to their old life and live for you. I just give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Well, again, Remnant, good morning. Phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment. And I want to remind everybody, Passover is fast approaching. We just had a couple 91st days, finished out the 2018 solar year. We're, of course, now in the 2019 solar year. And March 20th being the spring equinox. And in the Bible months, that equates to the first day of Abib. And 14 days later is April 2nd. And want to remind everybody of that, and that's going to be fast approaching. And the pastor likened it, if you, we have the books available, Solar Sanity, versus lunar lunacy and calculating the Passover, and then also the communion book. And in the books and in his teachings, he likened the 91st days and the Passover to the four fingers of your hand, and Passover being like the thumb day, the door day. And by recognizing those days and participating in that, it was the equivalent of being able to have being able to take a grip on that sword of the Spirit, that Word of God, and being able to understand it, to wield it. And so we do encourage you. You know, we don't do Easter. We don't hide Easter eggs, because we don't see that in the Bible. We do observe the Passover because we see that in the Bible, and it really is as simple as that. So, if you're not familiar with Passover, by all means, you can contact us, and many people have. We've sent many of the Solar Sanity and Communion books out in the last couple of weeks. Many new people coming on the ministry and people just wanting to have a better understanding of it. So if you want to know a little bit more about that, it's a very important part of Christianity, of true Christianity, then get in touch with us, and we'll get that Solar Sanity and Communion book out to you.
Well, and there were the treaties, too, that we've always offered for free, and it was a really fantastic one called an Urgent 11th Hour Message, and I encourage people to get that. I just finished reading it and rereading it. Haven't read it in a long time, and I'll tell you what, it's just packed with truth. It's got a really good explanation on it, so that's another one to add to your list, and if you don't have it, I would recommend getting it and reading it.
Amen. Amen. And we have that here. You can send us an email to preacher@sfaw.org. Or if you want to write to us, of course, it's Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we'll get that information to you for sure. For sure. Well, still seeing, I guess, a little more flooding. I know talking with Tim a little before the broadcast, look like some of the water's going down in areas. Tim, I think you mentioned that, and that's certainly good to hear that maybe some of the roads are opening back up.
Yeah, they're working on some of the roads. The governor was out with Mike Pence this last week, and they were looking over it, and they've got. I don't know. They're calculating as many as a million calves lost in this last flood, you know, and the crop losses. And it was like John said on Wednesday night, they're, you know, starting to uncover things and see what kind of damage they've got. And there's millions upon millions of dollars worth of damage. And, but the water levels are most of the rivers are back in their banks at elevated positions now, and a lot of the roads are. But there's you know, as it continues to unfold, I'll find out what's going on. I know that they figure there's a lot of crop losses, but I don't think that includes necessarily stored grain and other things. And there's great concern over increased food prices and food shortages as a result of that. I mean, Nebraska is like one of the top two beef producing states in the United States. So,
yes.
There's a lot of grain, a lot of livestock, and the personal tragedies, I'm sure, are high. So,
well, one of the things is there's a lot of people saying that, oh yeah, this happens every year, every couple of years. No, this is kind of one of those storms of a storm in a lifetime for Nebraska.
Exactly.
And not even just Nebraska, but Nebraska, Iowa, and parts of Missouri.
Absolutely.
We're talking about what's happened in Nebraska. They say that, you know, 40-50% of people are into agriculture in the state of Nebraska, but it actually, if you look at it, there's over 90% of the people are tied directly to agriculture in the state of Nebraska. And you look at the devastation that's there between the corn the corn devastation, the soybean devastation, the loss of cattle, it is phenomenal. My uncle's in Iowa, just across the Nebraska-Iowa border, about 45 minutes into Iowa, and over where he's at, you know, he said that 10 miles south of him, you could go over. I spoke with him last night, and it was, they were still motorhomes that were floating down the rivers. There's places that the bridges are completely gone, that there's they went in and tried to rescue horses and animals out of barns, and they said it came up so fast that the people, when the floods hit, there was basically minutes before people had to leave and get to higher ground. Just 30 minutes away from him where he was at, he said that they were still rescuing people as of last night. There was people that were floating in on air mattresses and second stories of their houses. Yes. Waiting for help. It was the helicopters have been running nonstop, and I mean they still haven't even got a handle of it in Iowa. And you know, you hear a little about what's going on in Iowa and even in Missouri. And he said that there's been people that they've been calling for truck and supplies into there, and you know, they're not even directing traffic well. He says that people get up there and you know they're trying to get supplies in there. Well, it's, you know, and 2-3 hours
the roads
to get into them, and you know, I mean, it's just still a catastrophe over there.
Yeah,
right, right. Well, the cattle issue isn't over yet either, because most of the hay bales have floated away. I mean, you know, you can see, and obviously things aren't going to be green for a little while. And I know that I just heard yesterday they were calling out here for hay for those areas in a big way, because of the fact that they don't have anything to feed them, what are left. So yeah, it's a long ways from over. I mean, just because
there's a lot of opportunity pressure that's got to be rebuilt too, just to get things up and running. I mean, it's, you know, going into, you know, we're not quite at planting season, but we're getting closer. And if you hit, you know,
yes,
get even, you know, farther east of where you're at, Tim, it's like, I mean, they got dams and levees and all kinds of stuff that's got to be built. And if they don't get that stuff back up and running, they're not going to have any irrigation water. They're not going to be able to get it wherever they need to get it. And
right.
So without that, I mean, number one, they got to get the water off the land. But number two, they got to be able to get their irrigation water where they need to. And it's, you know, I mean, you're looking at devastation.
That's right. There's been reported over 20 levees and dams that are just gone. Major, not just little berms on an irrigation ditch, but, you know, major levees, major dams. And it's just getting into the Dakota snows melting. They're talking that the National Weather Service is saying that the Mississippi could raise another 1 to 2 feet by the beginning of April. By April 1st, but because the temperatures are warming up, the snow is now it's into spring. Now we're going to see some snow melt. Now is when the normal floods come, the normal high water that the levees and the dams that have been built over the last 100+ years, you know, come into play and work the water and hold it here and send some down there, and that stuff is gone. That is gone, and it's not just Nebraska. Wisconsin, Iowa, the Missouri governor declared a national or a state of emergency in his state just this week. It is not just something like a hurricane. You know, when a hurricane comes in or a tornado, it comes in, does its damage, and moves on, and then it's usually clear skies and you're able to clear things up. We're not seeing that. We're not seeing that in northeast Nebraska. Like you said, Jason, I saw some live news feeds yesterday, helicopters rescuing people off from their flooded homes. Nothing but the second story or the roof showing. And it is still, the estimates, even on the 21st, 2 days ago, the governor of Nebraska, Pete Ricketts, saying, damages to roads, levee structures, they're estimating at $450 million. Crop losses, $440 million. Cattle, and livestock losses over $400 million. It's a major impact. And like Jason said, it's not just, this happens, at the end of winter. No, this is major. The flooding of the fields.
Yeah, probably irregular.
Yeah, the flooding of the fields, the sand and the mud and the debris that are going to be left once the water does recede. You can't, like you said, Jason, about planting. It's not like you can just go right back in there and plant. It's going to take a massive cleanup just to get fields ready to plant.
Yeah.
John, I think you mentioned maybe Wednesday night that this could be a harbinger of a famine, because people don't realize how much food and between the crops and the livestock that actually come out of Nebraska. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, we got to realize, too, in the mountains here in Colorado and in California, the snowpack is way above, especially in California, like in Tahoe and all that. I mean, as far as I can see, there's some places there's, 20 feet of snow still on the ground that they've, snowblowered pathways through. And I don't know if you've seen any of those pictures, but all of that water, after the reservoirs are full, eventually ends up in the South Platte, Tim, and that's all going to head down that way too. So if everything's already saturated and all of these berms and dams and things have failed, you're talking about a catastrophe that no one's ever even seen before in this country.
Yeah, it's a long ways from being out of the woods. There's no doubt about that. And one of the things that I thought was just left me kind of like, wow, is over east, they're cutting ice up over there and dynamiting ice, and they're cutting ice with chainsaws and trucking it out. There's ice jams from that stuff. And some of those ice, they're the size of houses. I mean, they're, 12 feet tall, 50 feet long chunks are cutting into pieces and moving. They're still not. There's a lot of catastrophe over there, and
the bridge is causing dams where they shouldn't be, and then that causes the dams that are supposed to be and the levees to fail. I remember when we had the flood here in Fort Collins in 97 maybe. I think it was 97, but anyways,
97.
A lot of the problem was the debris that floats down and blocks the normal water pathways, and then that's what basically forms a dam, and all that water pressure, hydraulic water pressure, builds behind that, and then that just takes out whatever structure was there that was designed to divert the water to the main streams and lakes and stuff. So
Mercy. We just continue to pray for mercy for God's people in His wrath, because I think that this is it's a biblical event. There's no doubt in my mind, and there's no doubt in anybody's mind, I don't think, in this state who is of a God Christian persuasion.
Fortunately, was able to broker a deal to send some hay to Nebraska, and we plan to do more of that as time and money and resources allow. So it's time for everybody to chip in. It's like what you read on Wednesday night, Tim. It's that's not only just the Nebraska spirit, that's the followers of Jesus Christ spirit, that even if you don't have much, you give some of what you have to those that have less. And the bottom line is, many of us, our cup runneth over, we've been abundantly blessed, and we could be in the same predicament, so we need to treat it just like, treat your neighbor, obviously, the way that you would want to be treated if you were going through these kind of scenarios. So hopefully,
amen,
our people dig deep and take care of it, because you can see that there's nowhere near the outcry from the people, at least in the cities and things like that, as there was for
Houston and Louisiana and all of that. So, because these are, you know, these are the salt of the earth people down there that that do fear God and know where their bread comes from.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. And I think it is going to.
Well, I'm talking about. Okay. I mean, you talk about the situation too. I talked with a vet in Iowa this week, and there was a region out there in Iowa that was had 25% open cows this year. And when you talk about open cows, you talk about cows that didn't get pregnant, that went to market. I mean, you know, and that was just, you know, in one area, but that's, I don't know what the numbers came back in some of the other areas, but this area where she was working was, you know, she was shocked. She couldn't believe it. Had to do the numbers over and over again. She was out, has a crew, they went out and did preg checking on cows. They go right out to the farms and they start, checking it, and you know, she was just shocked. She's never seen anything like it before. That, you know, open cow after open cow, 25% of open cows is an awful lot. That takes somebody that's trying to raise cows that's got a cow calf operation. I mean, that just that basically puts them into the point where there's absolutely no profit for a year. You know, it's hard to work on some of those kind of margins. And you know, she was saying that there's a lot of people that are going to be losing their farms just because of it, you know, unless something happens. But, you know, you add that onto the food crisis that we're already seeing. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, difficult times. It's like they're, you know, vastly approaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like we're seeing the building of a perfect storm.
People too.
Oh, that is happening.
That's affecting the people too. That, you know, there's, you can see all around you that there's more and more people that are, you know, families that are having trouble for the wives to get pregnant, and then the complications that are taking place and things like that is unprecedented from what's happened in the past. And, you know, you kind of wonder if it's, you know, maybe it's something with the chemtrails, maybe it's something with the water, with the food, I don't know. But bottom line is, I mean, we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and
amen,
and we know that he can bring us through anything, and that we can take poison and it won't harm us, because that's one of the promises that he gave us, that we can trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And I think we all, I've said it for quite a while, we all need to memorize that Luke 10:19 and be able to quote it. You know, when anything's happening in your life and you know that it's from the enemy, you just need to quote that, because that's a promise for God's people.
It is. It absolutely is. And but the people have to know it to claim that promise. They have to hear it. They have to believe it.
Well, you have to walk first.
That's right. That's right. And you're absolutely right. The you know, in our country, the white Caucasian, they are not having enough children to maintain the levels that they're at. We reported on that, and there was a report out of Europe just about 2 weeks ago that said the very same thing, that the Europeans, you know, traditionally white Caucasian Europeans are not having enough children, you know, to maintain their numbers. But you know who is having children? The illegal invaders, the aliens. They are having children left and right. In 2018, the LA area had over 500,000 anchor babies born. Just the Los Angeles area, over 500,000 anchor babies. That's just the babies. And that anchor babies, that brings in every uncle, aunt, cousin, or whatever that they can that they can muster. And it is. It's we are seeing you know, biblical activities that we've read about. We call it the perfect storm. Everything lining up, it seems like, you know, to for this perfect storm to happen. And we're seeing that. Those that have eyes to see, we are seeing that. We're seeing the white Caucasian, God's people, because they've turned away from God and thought of themselves as God, deciding right and wrong instead of His word, and thinking that everything is just going to be hunky-dory and go on just the way it is. And it is not happening. You know, they're not having, our people are not having enough children to replace themselves, so to speak. The aliens are. We see the food and the weather changes that are happening, and of course man blames, oh, global warming, we need to stop running cars and tractors and things like that. No, it's called sin and turning away from God. And you know, when that happens as a people, as a nation, God puts up with it for so long, and then you know, when the blessings stop flowing as heavy as they've been flowing in the past, this is what we see. We stop having children. The food supply starts growing up. And I think we're seeing that very thing.
Yep. God's not mocked, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen. But
every
knee
will bow and every tongue will profess.
That's right.
One way or the other.
That's right. You see the headlines, the illegal aliens murdering. Excuse me, my voice is going. Murdering Americans. Oh, it's illegal alien murders four to have money for meth. Illegal alien kills mother of two. Illegal aliens, murder to join MS-13 gangs. And you used to read about this just down in Mexico or Guatemala somewhere, and this is in San Antonio, this is in Baltimore, this is in Denver. It's everywhere here. Saw a report this morning that the Franciscan monks in Austria, you know, the monks do a lot out there. They feed the poor. They do a lot. They are having to give up on feeding the immigrants, the aliens, the homeless out there because of the violence. They're getting attacked. The monks, the Franciscan monks in Austria. And so, you know, it's not that the right, it's not that the Christians pushing and promoting this, but the violence that we're seeing that is coming upon Christendom is just ever increasing. It is.
Well, and so often we talk about these Red Sea moments, you know, for deliverance. And I think that it just occurs to me that this is what we're seeing. I mean, God is, we are as a people being put into this place of a Red Sea deliverance. Our faith will be tested, you know, and our resolve will be tested. And I liked what Pastor used to say all the time about, well, we'll survive. You know, that's because that's a promise from our God. Now you can get on the train and you can get yourself squared up with God and you can get yourself committed and you can get yourself prayed up and armored up and He'll bring us through it. Or you can be like, you know, some of the goats and the tares out there, or all of the goats and the tares out there, and you can go down you can be covered over by the waters. I mean, that's kind of where we're at, and I think those things are coming, and I think God continues to give us these signs of the times that He's still there and He's still moving. We see things around us that are, you know, all over the place. You've got California juries finding against Bayer for Roundup. We got a second trial there where they found that they find them. We've got
different things like that going on. And I always consider that a miraculous and divine intervention whenever you see a court rule against one of these mega corporations like that. I mean, to me, that's just like, only God does that. I mean, it's amazing because, usually they never get any of the stink that they roll around on them. So, you know, there's,
like you were saying this morning, Tim, with the Mueller probe, that I didn't know that, but you were saying this morning that this is the first special counsel that's ever come up empty based on what the initial
target
was.
Yeah.
And that's significant if you think about it, because like we were talking this morning, the fact that they had unlimited resources, literally, there was no restrictions financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever. There was no restraint against them, the enemies of God, using everything that they could to destroy one man and remove him as the president, the head of this nation, the true JARUSALEM. And yet they failed. And that can only be the hand of God, period. That's it. You can't explain it away any other way.
No, that kind of stuff just doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Because they don't take no for an answer when they're dealing with those kinds of things. I mean, like you said, all the stops came out. You know, make it up, dig it up, you know, whatever. But we can't find anything. So
I mean, literally, they tried to find people to falsely accuse him. How many times? How many times? And it's in the mainstream media, and they're hammering them and hammering them for, you know, days on end, and all of a sudden, it never takes. It just doesn't take. And you know what? They cannot figure out why they can't take him down. That's when you know that God is using him. Is he perfect? No. Not by any means. Is he a saint? No. But he's a warrior, and God's using him. And we it's our job as followers of Jesus Christ to provide the prayer cover for those guardian and warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places and gain the victory. That's the bottom line. I believe that 100%.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I want to encourage everybody to spend some time in the book of Isaiah. I've spent quite a bit of time in the book of Isaiah lately, and I mean, it's more prevalent than ever on what we're seeing in our land, and it's that reaffirmation that, you know, it's going to be a remnant of a remnant. There is a remnant out there. There always will be a remnant. God's got his remnant, and he's going to deal with the remnant, tend to their needs, and take care of them and get them through, you know, whatever we see. It's, you know, we're seeing times are changing. I appreciate, you know, one of the things that Paul Boy Paul, he called me, you know, quite some time back, and, you know, just out of the blue, and said, you know, what is your number one job here on earth to do? And you know, of course, you know, the whole duty of man is to fear God, and a lot of people don't understand that, but if you don't, there's some looking into that. But I told him that, and he said, okay, he said, yeah, but besides that, and I said, I said, I don't know, what is it? And he said, your whole duty is to train your replacements, and, you know, train them better than you are. And it's, you know, he's like, that's what will change the world, and that's how our enemies think. And there's so much truth in that. You spend the time taking it with your children, you train them, you leave them better off than we are. You leave them with better training than what we had, and, you know, you teach them to be good, godly, Christian, God-fearing men and women of God. And, you know, that's, you know, a person, any person with children's, you know, one of their number one duties, and that's what they need to be working on. And most people don't take that seriously.
Amen.
Amen.
Ellen, I was told years ago that the goal of a good teacher is to have the students surpass their abilities. That's a significant milestone in a teacher's life, is when you are training or teaching your student, and when they're better at something than you are, that doesn't mean that those who can't teach or that those who that you're inept. What it means is that was the right path for that individual, and God plays into, you know, God is the one who effects that. It's no different than Elijah and Elisha. It's a perfect example. You had Elijah, who was a mighty man of God, and, you know, basically you can kind of see how Elisha went with him, and he was his replacement, and he was more yet than Elijah was, you know, so successful handoff there and all of that, and that's a good thing. One of the other things that I thought was significant, I don't know if anybody else has heard about it, but we were talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center here the other day, and their legal director, Rhonda Brownstein, just resigned. Just walked out the door and quit. So, you know, there's another thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, they fired Morris Dees last week, 10 days ago. The shadow of impropriety, and you know, they don't put a lot out, but you know, the prayers are being answered. The things that have been done in the dark, that the enemies of God thought they were going to continue to do and get away with, those things are being brought to light, and the people are seeing them. You know, and we see it. We see it happening.
And there was a story that I posted up on the Newswire, and it's called it's entitled "An American Political Thought Course at CU Denver Removes All White Men from Curriculum," and this is here in Denver. And the first part of it starts out. It says, "I can clearly recall the first day of class a few semesters ago when I eagerly began a course called American Political Thought at the University of Colorado Denver. My excitement quickly soured, however, after the professor, Chad Schumer, explained to the students in the room that most traditional American political thought courses are too focused on the achievements of white men. As a consequence, he told us he had removed every single white male and their theoretical perspectives from the entire course of curriculum." And as it goes on, it says, "My disappointment and frustration at this narrow view led me to drop the course after just the first day, but the class continues to be caught at CU Denver." And, you know, you talk about an attack. I mean, it was, you know, talk about Dad being ahead of his time and, you know, a prophet. It was, you know, he taught about this and prophesied this long ago. And it is, you know, I mean, here it is right here, you know, in the universities. I mean, you know, and they're boldly proclaiming it. Oh, we're going to take out every white Christian political male out of your history books. Well, they're taking it out of the history classes, and they're taking it out of the curriculum, and boasting about, "I've removed it."
Yes.
You know, it says that there was nothing of Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, oh, we don't want to focus on those people. Those people, you know, they've gotten too much in the limelight. Well, they were the people that, you know, changed the course of this country. And when they change history, this is what they're trying to do, is they're trying to change the future.
Yes.
And, oh, it's been going on for a long time. I mean, it's been going on for, I don't know exactly how long, but I know it's been going on for, you know, I know I was hearing about it 30 years ago of how they were taking stuff out and they were perverting the history books. And it's, you know, it's just coming to a different level nowadays.
Yeah, that ties in with, you know, we keep praying that the things in the dark be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And obviously, I believe that that's exactly what's taking place. There's things that, you know, you can't even tell me that the Southern Poverty Law Center thought that they were, didn't think that they were above the law and that there was no way that they could ever be brought down. I didn't realize, but Morris Dees was actually the founder of that thing. And,
oh, yeah.
They're saying there's, you know, several dozen now organizations that are suing them for billions of dollars for falsely listing them as hate groups. But this is what caught my eye, you know, as I've been focusing on the Roman Catholic Church and the papacy and Great Whore of Babylon and how God exposed that and gave us the, you know, the clues
time and time again in the Bible, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. But this was the Club of Rome admit to inventing climate change as a common enemy to unite the world. Think about that. Now, this is a March 2019 headline. That's now. That means right now these things are coming out. But in 1991, the Club of Rome, a group of elite individuals, a think tank for the Vatican, published a book called The First Global Revolution. In that book, they admitted to inventing the climate change agenda as a common enemy of mankind in order to unite the world against this common enemy. Well, the common enemy is God and Jesus Christ and the Christians, but essentially what you have going on here is another Tower of Babel being set up, causing the world to turn from God and look to themselves in order to secure their own future.
Amen.
But, I mean, that's significant to think about it, because I can remember even while Dad was still alive, the fact that they were, you know, like you said, Jason, they've been changing the history books and the public schools. They weren't getting it done fast enough. You know, Agenda 21 and the United Nations and all that, it all ties into all of this stuff. And now it's Agenda 30. But the bottom line is they've been indoctrinating our children. The sad thing is, even those that we've protected up until the point where they've decided that they want to go to college or something like that, unless they have their guard up, they fall into the same trap. And, you know, I've even caught some of our own people believing this crap about global warming and climate change. You know, global warming didn't work because the statistics weren't lining up with what they said was going to happen. So now it's climate change. Well, yeah, obviously the climate changes, duh. But anyways, you know, when we talk about these disasters and all that, bottom line is the birth pangs, right? The birth pangs are becoming stronger and stronger and closer together. There's no way to deny these things, but I just thought it was significant that the fact that it was the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church, this Club of Rome in 1991, that came out with this agenda to unite all of the people. And that's what they're doing through ecumenism. You know, they're basically saying, if we don't all get together and unite against this one enemy, then we're all going to die. And the people are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker.
That's a fact.
Well, and one thing that I've noticed too is they go back and, you know, I mean, it's hard to say, okay, can you go back, you know, 100 years, 200 years ago and say, okay, this guy was a pedophile or that guy was a pedophile. But they brought a lot of those people into the limelight too. And, you know, it's like, okay, you can read the articles, you can read about them. You know, it's like, I mean, how do you really prove something, you know, 200 years ago that this dude was, you know, that was really screwed up in the head. But, you know, at the same time as what they're doing is they're making it out. It's like, oh, it's been around forever. It's been okay forever. There's been people, you know, they were persecuted 200 years ago for this. They were persecuted 100 years ago for this. So there's nothing new under the sun, and it's just completely normal.
Well, that's what the enemy does. They've done that with abortion. You know, when I was in school in the late 70s and early 80s, that was not... abortion was not part, at least in small town America, it wasn't part of the vocabulary. And the enemy has done that. They know the more that they can bring it up, the more they can talk about it, the more they can make it seem normal, the more that the people accept it. Autism is that way. My oldest son's 29. 29 years ago, autism was not in the vocabulary, not in the thoughts of the American people. It was not part of our society. Well, in a generation, the enemy, by golly grimaces, has made it part, because they push and they promote and they promote and they push. And, you think that they don't know what they're doing when they have these cross-dressing drag queens in there reading about Billy having two daddies to kindergartners? They have, and it's coming out now because our prayers are being answered, that, you know, they're having these sexual perverts that are in there doing that. And people that have been arrested previously. And these things are coming to light. And so the enemy continues to try. They continue to push. They continue to debase and to do their best to brainwash our children. And to a big degree, they have success. But you know, that remnant that was mentioned earlier today, that remnant is still there. And that remnant goes against it. That remnant says no. Folks, we're putting together, hopefully just this Monday we're going to start printing volume 2 of the newsletter. And it ties in with, Jason, what you said earlier about Isaiah, reading Isaiah, because it talks about Isaiah's job. And Isaiah's job is to put the truth out and to say what is right is right, what God says is right, what's wrong is wrong. That does not change with time or society. Time and society may change, but the Word of God does not. And it's that remnant that hear that, that are attuned to it. The frequency of the truth resonates with the remnant. And it may be one from a city and two from a town, just like this new JERUSALEM was settled. It was settled by people like that. One from Belfast and you know, two from Liverpool and three came over from this place. And that's how it is today. That remnant is still scattered, but they see the atrocities in the land and the sin in the land and say, no, this is wrong. They see the history being rewritten, and we've all seen it. You know, we've all seen it, and our enemy understands it. They can change history. Jason, I guess you said that if they can change history, they can change the future. And that's certainly their goal, to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, you can say what you like about the settling of this country, but there weren't any female Muslims that had anything to do with the settling of this country. There weren't any, you know, there were very few blacks in the first, 300 years of this country that had a big impact. Now, guess what? Squanto, an American Indian, he had a pretty good impact, you know, somewhat, you know, with the settling, but they can change it all they want, or try to. The truth is still the truth, and the remnant will still want to hear the truth and still desire the truth, and we will continue on, good Lord willing, getting that truth out to them.
Yeah, I found another quote as well in that Vatican First Global Revolution. It says, quote, "In searching for a common enemy against whom we can unite, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like, would fit the bill. In their totality and their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which must be confronted by everyone together," end quote. And that's from that First Global Revolution report in 1991 from the Club of Rome.
Yeah, well, and you know, talking about changing our history and looking for these sort of things, I think that it goes back to, like Jason said, Isaiah is a great place to read. I mean, wow, Isaiah 51 said, you know, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Remember the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye have digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So that's why they want to take that out. That's why they want to change all those things and you know, the gloom and doom that they shout from the rooftops. They've got to unify people to get them to go after that falseness. We've got 10 years, and the whole earth's going to reject us. You know, so we got to do all these terrible things. It's been 10 years for the last 30 years, for sure. I can remember that, but, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, they continue to come up with all these little divisions and all of those sort of things.
Yeah, John, it sure is interesting that you found that it's the Catholic Church that doesn't go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, that prayer is, I will heal their land when God's people, when my people return to me, right? I will heal their land. And so it's not like the Catholic Church goes back to the Word of God. No, they manufacture these lies that... And now certainly the land needs healing. I mean, all creation groans and cries out for the revealing of the sons of God. But I just find it interesting that it's those very Catholics, that leadership in that ungodly organization that is pushing and promoting and you know, these lies, again, as opposed to going back to the Word. Well, guys, we are all but out of time. I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Remnant, for tuning in this Saturday morning. And we want to invite you to church with us tomorrow. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a couple of good hours for you, some good, solid Bible teaching. The Timeless Truth pulpits are just that. They have been timeless. The prophecies that were preached sometimes 30 years ago, we are seeing in our lifetime come true. And they are warnings today, just as they were then, to repent, to return, and to follow the true biblical plan of salvation, which includes not only believing, but repenting and immersion baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And so we invite you, come and join us. You can join us right there at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream, and we'll see you then. Well, men, again, thanks, and we'll see you tomorrow at church.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, big high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Big
high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.